for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 618 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week is the return of Simon Burks, and he's got a hot indie book from Top Cow called Antarctica, which we discuss. The series is described this way. Stargate meets His Dark Materials in this emotionally driven sci-fi story. It's an incredible experience full of unique twists and turns that will keep everyone guessing right up until the end. You can now pick up the collected first five-issue story arc, which we talk about, and the latest issue, number 6, is due this Wednesday in your local comic shop. Be sure to read this blockbuster series after getting it at your local shop today. I'm sure you're going to enjoy what Simon has to say. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. It's great to welcome back to the podcast the creator of Antarctica, Simon Burks, who has created a series that has really got a lot of positive buzz going on to it. And the first arc apparently is coming to a conclusion, and the second arc is about to begin. How's it going, Simon?
Yeah, going very well. Thank you very much. Yeah, and joining you from Scotland now, and it's exciting to be able to talk about Antarctica and as an ongoing series.
I always love Top Cow. I tend to buy a lot of their comics because they're usually very creative and something a little different, and I love variety in my reading. So early on, I heard a lot of buzz about Antarctica, and that got me started reading it. And unfortunately, right now, I haven't read number 5, which is the conclusion of the first arc. But I'm looking forward to, oddly enough, there's been promotion going on about number 6, which is the beginning of the second arc. And I've read number 6, but not number 5.
Well, there you go. As you probably now know, number 6 sort of goes back 15 years. So so not reading number 5 actually doesn't overly matter right now. So that's the next arc, issue 6, kind of it is one. It would really help, obviously, to read the whole of the first arc, but it is, you can jump on board and then wait for the first trade's coming out in February. So you could do it that way around.
Okay, so why don't you describe what Antarctica is all about?
Antarctica, it's about, initially it's about a girl called Hannah Curtis, whose father, Jerome, works in Antarctica and does long stints out there. And she always waits for, looks forward to him coming home until one day he doesn't come home, and he's just, no one knows where he is, really. This happens when she's just coming into her teens, so it sort of throws her off a bit, and she has a tough time of it, to the point where she's pretty much homeless. There's a friend who sort of helps her and tries to set her straight and does manage to, and sort of points her in the right direction. Tragically, he dies, is the short answer. She suddenly realizes, well, it's just another tragedy. So she thinks, well, what can I do? And she can either sort of give up again, or she can actually go and look for her father. And that's what she decides to do. She has sort of trained as an engineer, and it's a sort of skill that sort of helps her land a job at the same place that her father worked, the same Antarctic station. So she gets posted out there. And as soon as she arrives, sci-fi stuff happens. Another Hannah Curtis is there's a flash of light, seemingly another Antarctic station similar to hers appears. And another Hannah Curtis, this one called Dr. Curtis. So while she's an engineer, this one's a doctor, comes over and says, we need to talk about father. And that's kind of how the first issue ends. And then it just gets crazier from there, really.
I agree with that assessment. I thought it was going to be a mystery to start out. What happened to the father? Why did the father not come? But the moment the Dr. Hannah shows up, I am like, wait a second. This is not necessarily the mystery I was thinking it was going to be. So I was really intrigued by that. Now, I have to say, too, I always love stories, even though I live in Florida, that are in the Arctic cold. Sometimes I read these stories and have to put a sweater on because it makes me feel so cold. But it's just so, I was so interested when this was set in Antarctica. And I got to ask, why set a comic in Antarctica when most comics are set in like New York City?
It's and true. Stuff like that? Yeah, I think Antarctica, along with the bottom of the ocean and space, there are a few places where you're pretty isolated. You know, you can't just run hail a taxi anywhere. You know, you are stuck there. If you're in Antarctica, you know, you're gonna have to ride the adventure out. So that's kind of why I'm a big fan of sort of films and TV series or whatever, or stories that happen in one place. And so really, I think that was a big decision, big reason why I've set it in Antarctica. Obviously a big The Thing fan as well, so that would also have played into it. It's just an interesting place, what I tend to find is the more I restrict the story or the boundaries of the story, the more my writing brain kicks in and sort of has to work out the puzzle of how to write it. So
okay, because there was a book called Winter World that I enjoyed. The name escapes me right at the moment, but there's a story about a train that goes through the world has gone completely Arctic.
That's right.
The whole world, and this train is going through
Snowpiercer.
That's what it was. All those things sort of interest me, because if you go outside, the big punishment I remember in Snowpiercer was they would stick a limb outside the train and it would freeze off.
Yes,
what would happen? Oh gosh, still drives me crazy. And they're in the same sort of a setup with Antarctica. Going outside is dangerous, so they need to stay inside. And that, of course, makes everything compact, and you can't run away. You've got to deal with things rather than do this escape that people like to do. So I have to agree that this is a great setting and unusual for comics, so I really liked it.
Oh, good. Yes, it's exciting to write and to see what they have to do. And it is that very thing where that they are faced with this situation, and at the end of issue two, that they realize, in fact, the situation is a whole lot worse than they first thought. And they have to do something about it. They can't, they can't passively wait. They actually have to try and get back to their own world. So.
It's amazing because, it's described as a blend of Stargate and His Dark Materials, which I find an interesting description about that. did you have that in mind, or was that people saying that for you? How did that description come about?
That was, I think it was people saying it for me. Stargate, it comes in because it's quite, when we come onto the fracture, there's a machine which sort of surrounds the fracture, which does look a bit Stargate-y. So that's fine. And His Dark Materials, the Stargate aspect came from one of the people at Top Cow, and they said it to me, that sounds like this. And I thought, yes, actually, you're right. But the other one, His Dark Materials, because there's an element of how they generate power, basically, to go between or to charge up the moving of the station or of people. That sort of was reminiscent of his Dark Materials to me. But it's quite good. I mean, it's fun doing sci-fi. I think was always worried that I was going, I can't use that because it's already been done or that's already been done. But actually, it's a lot of fun to say, okay, yeah, I'm going to just subtly pinch this and change it a little bit and put it in. And it's kind of, I like to think I'm paying homage to these different things that I've watched. And so it's fun.
Well, I'm a science fiction guy. I love Star Trek. I love all the things that are science fiction. I love to watch them. If somebody says it's a science fiction show, I'm right in. I'm there watching because I like that kind of stuff. It expands your mind. I always say that science fiction explores what if.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I love that stuff. I just think that's the thing about this book. Mm. I mean, like I said, there have been other stories that have been in frigid conditions and stuff. But the thing of it is that you take a unique perspective on this by forcing all these things to develop. And I would read the description of number 5, except it's full of spoilers. I don't want to tell anybody because you said the end of issue 1 was a big surprise. And then the issue 2 is another surprise. And there's a whole bunch of surprises by the time we get to number 5, which I will not in any way repeat because I do not want to, I want people to get to enjoy the story like I did. And just come in and get to it and be surprised. I don't want to spoil too much because even though it's major spoilers that I work for, I really rather hint than spoils because I want people to get that experience that I did, the fun of reading it and being surprised.
It's a lot of fun doing those, cliffhangers and surprises and all that sort of stuff. And really, it's slightly different from where I come from with the indie comics that I've written. They've been far more, I would probably say slower paced because in the indie market, we can tell stories slightly differently. And they evolve slightly differently. Where this one, I want to get those readers to keep coming back. So the cliffhangers have come in and the surprises. And really, it's a joy. I mean, also it's a nightmare to work out, but it's a joy to actually do as well.
Well, as a storyteller, you do a great job of that. I have to say, it's really fun to read. And I also want to talk. Well, a couple of things I'm going to get into for sure. But I want to talk about Hannah because I always tell people I have this real trouble, or I shouldn't say it's trouble. Or it's a mystery to me when there's a female character that's the lead. Mm-hmm. If there's males, I mean, I've read male characters as leads for years, for decades.
Yes.
And I have a fair idea when there's a male in the lead what's going to happen. Mm. When there's a female in the lead, I don't know what's going to happen, and that is always a lot more fun for me to read. I have no idea what's going to happen with Hannah or what she's going to do because I haven't read that many female leads yet. I mean, maybe a couple of years from now I'll be less surprised than I am now. But from the start, when Hannah appears on the scene, I don't know what's going to happen next with her, and I like that. So that leads me to ask, did you want to have a female lead for a specific reason, or did it just fit the story? Why did you have Hannah as the main character?
The truth is, in my writing, I more often than not, they are female leads. It's what I enjoy writing. So when I was doing this, it just seemed, the characters kind of evolve when you're sort of planning the story. So sort of the fact it is a female would have come out of that as well. But I don't know. It's just I find it easier to write. I find it's a lot of fun. It's Hannah is an intelligent, resourceful, funny person, character. And that's great to write. But it's also great to write when you have the other versions of Hannah come in as well. Because obviously, by dint of decisions or whatever happens in their life, they're a different version of Hannah. So So that's quite good to write too. So no, I just I enjoy writing female leads. It's I feel it's quite natural for me to do that. So
interesting, because people always, you know, are always puzzled as how do you get the experience to know what characters are going to do that are going to be true to the characters. Like, how does a person who is not a person of color write a person of color? You know, those kinds of things. And it's interesting to me how men can write women characters and do it well. Did you have experience with lots of women in your profession, in your growing up? How did you become so familiar with the lady characters that you can write them so well?
My profession was IT, so I can't say I had a lot of, unfortunately not enough sort of women in IT, certainly when I was first coming up. I guess primarily I was brought up by my mother. I mean, my father was around, but primarily I lived with my mum. So I guess that to that extent, I saw, you know, my experience was mainly with a female parent. But over and above that, no, I can't tell you. I don't know. It's just something that, has evolved. And say, even when I was first doing writing, it was always, I mean, if you look at some of my independent books, comic books, Robin is a young female Robin Hood, and Sinners is a girl called Hope. So it's just, where I feel most comfortable writing, in truth. I just let the characters talk. I'm certainly a writer. I'm not the biggest planner, in the world, but if I plan too much, it kind of kills the story for me. So, it's very much like a case. I sit down and I start, and I write and the characters talk to me as well. But there's a lot of good characters. There's a nice thing also about Antarctica. Not only do you have Hannah, but you also have Hirsch and you have Mateo. So there's lots of characters that I want people to fall in love with, basically, and care about.
And if you don't necessarily like one version, you might find another version you will like.
It is. That is, again, it is the kind of one of the driving forces behind Antarctica is this what if, you know, what if something, what if I grew up differently? Would it change me? How much is nature? How much is nurture? And so right at the beginning of issue one, we see a young Hannah playing with her dolls, and she has a nurse doll, and she has other actually types of doll as well, which may come into it later on, spoilers. But that's that thing, but something happens, and she, just the way she experiences it, changes her. And so whilst one Hannah does become a doctor and does actually becomes more helpful in one way and less helpful in another, you know, Hannah sort of goes through her own pain and experience. And when you read issue five, there's a big reveal in issue five, which kind of changes a lot about the two Hannahs. So yeah, when you get to it, it's fun.
I've seen some preview pages, but they don't give away nothing as far as I can tell. I'm dying to read that. So by the time this posts, I've gotten to issue five, I'm sure. But I'm really kind of interested. Now, there's so much I want to ask. There was an article in Bleeding Cool that talked about the fact that Antarctica explores the themes of loss, identity, and sacrifice. And I find that's an interesting thing about that. I guess we're talking about the loss of the father in her life, who she is, and sacrifice, like what you're willing to give up. So all those things kind of intrigue me, because you don't see a lot of those themes in comics, to be honest with you. So I thought that was right away when I read that, I went, ooh, I have to be sure to read that book.
That's fascinating
to me.
Yes, and things with sacrifice, again, it comes up with the Dr. Curtis character as well. There's a big thing around that. So, I wrote this book whilst I sort of changed it slightly from my normal indie comic book writing. I still bring a lot of that to it. I still wanted to that the first issue, basically the first 16 pages, is you seeing Hannah's kind of life story up until the point where she reaches Antarctica. And and seeing the tragedies, because I wanted people to care. Whenever I consume media, I want to care about the characters. If I don't care about the characters, I'll literally switch off. Because what's the point? So that's what I wanted to do. That's what I wanted to reflect here. So we have, we have some characters that we care about that goes through grief, and you're right there going through it with them, I hope. So
yep, that's why they're called characters. We care about them.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like to do that. Now I've got to. I'm trying desperately not to spoil here because there's so many interesting things that happen. But there's something behind the scenes that I thought was an interesting development. Initially, Antarctica was going to be a 5-issue miniseries, and I think the first issue came out right around that time. Suddenly, the word came out that's not going to be a miniseries anymore. It's going to be an ongoing book.
Yeah,
and I read about that, and I was kind of fascinated because how does that happen? How do you go from a miniseries before the even miniseries is finished? You're just you've decided you want to keep going with this. How did that happen? What happened with that?
I think Antarctica was always a larger story than 5 issues in my mind. It was never overly talked about with Top Cow. It was that they okayed the 5 issues miniseries. Then I was fortunate enough to go out to San Diego because it was a release just before the San Diego Comic Con. Sat on the Top Cow booth, signing number ones when they came on, got to talk to them, and they liked the book very much. And I did say that I'd actually already started writing more issues just because I enjoy the story. And sort of the day after, they said, "Okay, well, we've had a chat, and we'd like to make it a second arc," which was lovely, and more than I could ever hope for.
So it's not an ongoing; it's a 2 miniseries. How's this going to go?
No. So what is actually happening is then the next day I came back and they said, actually, we're going to make it an ongoing series. So there we go. So that's how it happened. So in the space of 2 days. So as you said, when you read about it being an ongoing series, in the space of a couple of days, it was an ongoing series. And the good thing is it was always an ongoing series in my mind. So I didn't need to change anything. It wasn't a big surprise. At the end of issue 5, everything was not resolved. I changed the last page slightly. But apart from that, it was fine. And also the other great thing is I'd already started writing this arc 2. So it wasn't a case where I suddenly had to sit there and think, oh my God, I've got to come up with a second album. It was okay. I knew where it was going and it felt right. So
it pays to go to the conventions and be around the people in charge of the companies you're working with.
Maybe. I'm going to see, talking to them, looking me in the eye, being nice, showing that you're committed. And, I'm sure it's all of that. And also, I'm sure it was sales as well. But there you go.
Yeah. Top Cow, I love them. I love to buy their stuff, but they're not always the biggest sales part of Image. So I'm sure they were thrilled when I mean, Image is, there are certain stores that when I go to, the first thing you walk in the door, the first thing you see is all the Image books, certain ones. And then you have to go to the back, and back in the back are the Marvel and DC because these guys like Image. But the Top Cow ones, I've never seen included in those groups of Image. They've always kind of put them back with the DC and Marvel stuff. But I love the Top Cow stuff. I have read a lot of Top Cow, and I really enjoyed it because it's a whole other thing to me. And Antarctica fits that really well. Something unique and something you don't see in other comics. That's the thing I love about it. If you want variety in your reading, get Antarctica.
Yeah.
It's special. Are they going to put out a collected edition for the first 5?
Yeah, that's coming out in February, so it'll be available to order I'm guessing in December. Looking forward to that as well. Had a look at what that is. Look, I mean, got obviously you've probably seen in the first issue, you know, there's character designs and there's some processes as well, page processes going into the trade. So yeah, you get to see a bit of what goes on behind the scenes, which is always good to have a look at. I'm looking forward to that coming out.
I like that. And I'm still trying to avoid talking about the story because there's so many interesting things going on. But one of the things we want to talk about, because by the time this comes out, issue number 6 is going to be coming. And having read issue number 6, I have to say I was surprised.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I shouldn't really spoil. But let's just say that everything I thought had happened before, it didn't quite go the way that I thought it went.
No.
And, let's just say that, I can't say anything because I'm going to spoil stuff on this. And let's just say that you've mentioned already that we go back to the early years of Hannah's life.
Yes.
And that is a very, that is very different than what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah,
we see
a 7-year-old Hannah. So obviously, but which Hannah is it? That's the thing. I think that's the crux of it, what may not be too obvious. There are clues as to which Hannah it is, but it's one of the Hannahs. It may not be Hannah Prime, as I like to call her now, we start to see what happens. And there's a new new character called Dr. Go, who actually is introduced in issue 5 of the first arc. So, we get to find out more about them, and we see Jerome more. So we've seen Jerome in the flashbacks in the first arc, but now we actually get to see him and be with him for a length of time, and try and work out his motives, shall we say? It's good and it's mysterious and hopefully it's a lot of fun as well. I wanted to given the green light to carry on. I thought, well, if I do get a green light, then kind of the next one will be December. So that's right, a Christmas episode, because I'm a big Doctor Who fan, and having Christmas episodes is I enjoyed those. So I thought I'd do that. But of course, this one-off Christmas issue is now five issues, because because nothing is short really, and it's a lot of fun and a lot of mystery, really a whole new mystery. I hope so. Similar. There's some dramatic moments. I think Lyndon White, who letters the book, was lettering number 7 the other day, and he said at one point that he thought that before he got to the next page, he thought I was going to kill one of the main characters off, and he was a bit worried. And I thought, okay, well, I'm doing something right then. Even the letterer is worried about killing off. So.
I'm an editor for an indie comic, and the one thing that my roommate who writes the book, he gives me the pages so I can edit them and make sure all the grammar is in the right place in the commas.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. But he also uses me as kind of a sounding board. So I can tell them what did I think about this, and I've often given them feedback that's kind of helped them as he moves forward. You know, so there was one time he wanted something a page to be really hysterically funny, and I went back and I said, not funny enough. If you want this to be really funny, it's got to have to be funnier. And he went back and rewrote it and made it funnier.
Yeah.
So see those. I think that working with other people who can't help but read the book while they're doing their part. And I think that's always a great thing. That's a sign that everybody. I used to write for a hospital, and we used to write these stories that were in one of the things. And I had this one story I wrote, and the lady who was typesetting it. This was pre publishing. She was typesetting it, and she said she kept crying the whole time. She could hardly get through the story. I thought, okay, I wrote that story right then, didn't I? Because even the typesetter is crying while she's reading it. So I thought that was pretty. So those are good things. And I think that this book, I like I said before, I don't know what's coming.
No.
When I read issue six, I went, what?
Yeah.
What is this? And now you're saying that we might continue in that same vein, maybe the way to say that. Is that how would you describe, maybe that's the way to go about it. How would you describe the second arc? What should we know about the second arc? Maybe that's the way to approach it.
I think it's fair to say, at the start, the Hannah that we're following on this one is oblivious, but very quickly she's helped by one of the people at the station, and she's kind of on her own for quite a lot of it. So she suddenly has to. It suddenly becomes, I don't think the word, it's a bit diehard. And if you think of Christmas movies, you know, where this kid's at one point in one of the drafts of the comic, I had her crawling through a ventilation shaft, which made me smile. She isn't now, but it was. So she has to be very resourceful whilst being helped, because again, it's you just don't know who the right people are, who's on the good side, who's on the bad side. So really, you just kind of root for Hannah that she's going to somehow get out of this. But she's, I mean, while she's very clever and very resourceful, but she's still just a 7-year-old child, so she does have limitations. So it's kind of that, and so it's kind of she's trying to escape the base. She's trying to get to safety, whilst other people are trying to not let her escape. And it's pretty, it's sort of life or death stuff.
So we're still learning about Hannah as we go forward.
Absolutely. Okay. This way, yes, we do. I can't say too much either. but very much, it's fun to do. I mean, there's fun little points where, you know, basically, I think in the first issue, we talk about the Muppets Christmas Carol. And and again, in one of the drafts, it was the fact that what you found out is actually there are some awful worlds where there isn't the Muppet Christmas Carol. These are the darkest timelines. So, and so it's fun to do that. And also it's fun to introduce things as well, because Jerome's visited all of them in theory, and he kind of, so he knows things about different timelines or different worlds or different versions of Earth that don't appear in other ones. He sort of drops names and stuff along the way that may or may not come back later on. We'll see.
Well, you described Antarctica in that same article that was on Bleeding Cool. It says, Antarctica takes no prisoners, and I'm excited to share our adventure with the readers. Willie and I have created something exceptional, an incredible experience full of unique twists and turns to keep everyone guessing right up until the end. Yeah. And I think that even could go for the end of the issue many times. Yes. Not the end of the story necessarily. So, God, it's such a good book. It's so interesting. And I love to be surprised. That's one of my favorite things in the whole world, when I turn the page and go, oh, I didn't see that coming. I try really hard to figure it out too. So I think that if you like a book that challenges you, that engages you, that makes you wonder what's going to happen next, I think Antarctica is the book for you. So it's just such a well-done book. And I have to tell you, Simon, this might be my favorite of your books. So
great. Well, thank you very much. I'm pleased it is.
It's just great because, of course, you've written a second thing. Do you have more story in Antarctica that you'd like to tell?
In Antarctica? Yeah. Obviously, this book, I know what the end of Antarctica is, the very end, kind of like the last 5 pages, let's say. But I just don't know how we're going to get there. So I feel it might be a multi-arc book if the sales hold up. It's as simple as that. And I hope they will. So there's lots of stories here. And there's really focusing as well as just the main you know, where is Hannah's father sort of idea. But there are obviously there's lots of other stories being spun off it as well, which hopefully we'll get to tell.
See, I like the different layers. So what happened to the father? You know, what's up with Hannah? All kinds of things going on that gratefully you give us trails of breadcrumbs to follow. Mm.
Yeah, I was keen not to just keep having mystery without any sort of even tiny resolve. So you do get, you know, there are answers to as we go along, but generally I will create more questions than answer.
Well, that's something I love in the book. I love something that engages me. And like you said, I can't wait for the next issue. I'm sitting here waiting for number 5, which by the time this post, everybody else will have read. And they go, what's he talking about? What's he worried about? Well, I haven't seen 5 yet. I'm dying to see 5, so I'm going to see it. But again, I have to say that this book is – I hope it does really, really well. And I have to say – I could even see this be a TV show or a movie or something.
Yes. A word that comes up very much when people describe it is cinematic, and I think it's true. I think it has that sort of – you can see it on the screen, be it small or large. So fingers crossed. That would be beyond my hopes and dreams. But I think so. I think it's a possibility. I think it would be quite an exciting show, if I say so myself.
Well, the thing of it is that once you develop like one set of scenes, you know, when you've got different versions of things going on, you can often, I mean, they have what they call bottle shows where everything is contained within a certain environment. And if you had different universes, like say starships in Star Trek, you go on different starships, you can use those same sets for the different starships. But that's the same thing with this. You could do, if you develop one set of the Smith-Peterson Research Station, you can make slight changes and use them on other versions of that.
Yeah, it's very true. It's very true. I shall have you as a salesman.
And then the actors could, and nothing actors love better than doing different versions of characters.
I can imagine. It keeps them busy. But and also obviously flexes their acting muscle. But yes, let's hope so. I really do. It is a wish in my heart that I keep quiet. Because, you know, I don't want to jeopardize it or jinx it, whatever the word is.
Well, here's hoping. I even an animated show would be fun.
Yeah, that would be fantastic too. Yeah,
that'd be great.
Because certainly things like Arcane, wasn't it? Or I can't remember. But that show was fantastic. So an animated show, yes, I could see something similar.
Yeah, put it out in the window though. Don't put it out in the summer. This is not a summer show.
It's not a summer show. Yeah, it's true.
But it's such a great show, and I'm guessing, and it's, I love to be guessing. I love to try to figure out things ahead of time, and it's just such a great book. It's just much success with this one. But we got to talk about your other stuff. You've got other things that we've talked about before. What else are you working on? You're working on, I'm sure, other indie comics. What else is going on with you that we should be aware of?
So Blue Fox Comics is who I what the company I run in the UK, small press. We do a Kickstarter every month. We've got to that stage now. And so we've got a Kickstarter probably starting towards the end of this month for a comic that I haven't written, but we publish, called Powers Fearful and Divine number 3. If you go to the best thing to do, I think, bluefoxcomics.com. Is our website, and you can sign up to our newsletter there. It's along the top of the browser window. So if you sign up there, then you get me telling you all about the stuff that we do. So that's always a good thing. But I've also just today I sent out a post asking people, okay, which Kickstarters do you want us to do next? Because you know we've got sort of 3 books coming up. So that's quite exciting, and lots of people. Obviously, people love to interact and sort of make these decisions. So I've now got, you know, after Powers Fearful and Divine, I've now got the next 3 Kickstarter's sort of decided for me, which is a mixture of books that other people have written and drawn and books that I've written. It's a lot of good. It's a lot of fun. It never stands still. I think one of my working days, I flip between lots of different things. Today, I had a meeting with people called Hoopla, who sort of supply comic books online to read, but also partner with libraries in the US and Australia and Canada. So yep. Hopefully, a lot of our books will be appearing on that service as well, so people will be able to read them wherever, which is nice.
Very cool.
It's 2 days are never the same. Some days I'm just stuffing envelopes with Kickstarter rewards, honestly. And sometimes that's quite nice. You know, sometimes it's quite a relaxing pastime. We just finished our last con for the year, as in a comic con, which was Thought Bubble. We got one more con, which is for which is a tabletop gaming type convention, because we do choose your own adventure books as well. And we've just finished last Kickstarter, which finished was for one of those, one called Monuments, which is a game book. That's what we've been up to. I don't know, next year, more of the same, trying to take over the world, you know, one comic at a time.
Going to go back to San Diego?
Yes. The theory is, they were talking me through it the other day, is that the second trade for Antarctica will be out just before San Diego. Basically, it was a great experience. Loved San Diego, the actual place. Stayed there we were there a week before the con and then a few days after as well, and just really enjoyed it. So, yes, going back there, have a nice holiday, sit there. I can now sign any Antarctica stuff that people want to bring up, and I'll be there, and it'll just be fantastic. I can't wait. Very lucky.
Do you ever get to New York?
There are plans. There are plans. Lyndon, again, the letterer, sent me some figures the other day about costs and things to do and stuff. So yes, it is in the works. That would be a great one to do, and slightly closer. I mean, not that much, but slightly closer to where I am. That would be probably the plan for next year as well, to try and get there, but maybe even try and sell a few comics. We'll see.
Can I put my 2 cents in for New York?
Yeah.
New York is my favorite Comic-Con because there's so much there. If you want to buy superheroes printed on glasses, there's going to be a dealer who's going to sell that there. There's so much variety. And I have to tell you, the Artist Alley, I've been there with my roommate, and we have literally sold out there on stuff that we haven't sold out anywhere else.
Yeah,
people go there in Artist Alley, and they apparently come with money to burn. And we were there, and we had reader copies that we had out there, and we were sold out of the one issue, and the guy came up, "How much for the reader copy?" What? Reader copy? You don't want a reader copy, do you? "Oh, yeah, I'll be glad to. I'll pay cover price for it." Okay. And we sold the reader copy. And that's, I've never seen that anywhere else. New York is the only place where I've seen that. Now, I like San Diego. I enjoy it. San Diego is where the whole downtown gets taken over. If you go to New York and you go 2 blocks away from the Javits Center where it's held, they don't know there's a convention there.
It's a total different
for it. Yeah. If I could also put another plug, there's another con I really enjoy. If you ever get a chance to go to Dragon Con in Atlanta.
Yes, I've heard of that one too.
It's 24 hours a day con for like 3 or 4 days. There's like 4 buildings, and the comic section is 1 level out of like 6 in one of those buildings. There were 3 levels below us, and they all had comic-related stuff. We were in the comic level, which was just like any other comic con. And I tell you, that was an amazing convention. I really enjoyed that one. So I always, if I get a chance, I try to promote those guys because it's just all kinds of amazing fun to go to cons. And I'm glad cons are back. Believe me, I missed going to cons.
It's lovely space. Yeah,
it's, you get to meet people, see that you got to talk with the Top Cow people, and that kind of helps. Mm-hmm. You know, when you do those things. Sometimes your neighbors and stuff, you develop friendships that continue on. And so I always say, if you get to a con, if you can, set up a booth, and it doesn't always work out that you have great neighbors, but sometimes you do. And boy, it's so worth it. You may not sell everything you want to sell, but you'll make a lot of benefits, as you know, from going to cons. You're a con expert by this time. You've been to tons of them.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I've been to a few. But yes, I do look forward to going. I need to go more.
It's Antarctica, and by the time this posts, issue 6 is going to be just about on the horizon. And be sure to, if you can get the first 5 issues, be sure to catch up on those things. If you can't buy them in paper copies, you can get them electronically through like Comixology and stuff like that. So if you can't get electronic versions, if you need to, and then buy the trade when that comes out, because some people by now it's too late. Some of the stores can't get them and stuff like that, but there's still hope. You can still get a hold of this great story. So do that if you need to, and then pick up the trade, and then you'll have paper copies of that. So you're ready for 6. But indeed. Number 6, I have to say, blew my mind. I was shocked.
Good.
To be honest. And I can't wait to read. See, now the funny part is I have to go back and read 5, so that's going to be really something for me. It's
going to be so much fun. I was going to say, Top Cow have number 1 free to download on their, it was their front page, but certainly on their website. So go to the Top Cow website. You can read number 1 for free, so.
Very good, very good. Well, this book is really something unique, and I love variety in my reading, and I love stories I haven't read before. I haven't read this story before, so I love reading something. And like I said, I don't know what's coming next, and boy, do I love that. Yeah. So it's Antarctica, and Simon, keep up the wonderful stuff. I just can't wait to read more of this good stuff. Yeah. Diane, when we finally get to that end, I'm going to really go, that's what he was talking about.
So
keep up the wonderful stuff.
Will do.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne, as a man. From flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but it's a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's it for this week. Be back next time when we'll have another great interview with another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.